Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You know, growing up, parents, grandparents would say, you know, you got to learn how to have discussions in a serious manner without losing your cool. How many times have we seen that in life where you're arguing with your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, and there you can't be reached because you feel one is on you and they're not letting it go, so it devolves into this screaming match. We don't do that enough. We don't have enough dialogue. Not only in politics, but just in everyday life with one another. We don't have enough dialogue. So we don't know how to have real discussions. We don't. You know, I look at the millennial generation and the struggles they're having right now with what's happening with Trump. And they are so upset and they're so scared and they're so angry and but they've never had a chance to really understand what it's like to have a political discourse in a way to have a real discussion with somebody. Because the way that they've discussed things throughout their life has always been on what, by and large? Groupthink through the computer, social justice warriors. That's what happened. Yesterday, we played some clips from Milo Yiannopoulos had a thing posted about a gentleman who went into the community rec house at the apartment building he was at, and he was subsequently attacked for wearing a shirt that says hashtag build the wall now. And it is what it is. You listen to it, you kind of just get a feel of exactly what these people are about. And that is not having a discussion, but being bullies. Here's cut one.
I'm Mexican, and I'm just wondering, are you racist?
I'd rather not discuss anything with you. I'm just.
Well, of course you don't, because you're the one wearing a shirt, man.
Exactly. So why are you wearing that shirt if you don't want to discuss it?
I don't feel like having a political discussion.
Well, of course you don't.
Then
you're
the
Trump
shirt?
Supporter, dude.
Why are you wearing the
don't
shirt?
Don't wear like that around here.
So you're telling me I am this, I am that, don't wear this, don't wear that. You're bullying me. You're not having a discussion. You're not asking me why I'm doing this. You're not saying to me, hey, can we have a discussion? You're coming down on me. And even when I said, look, I don't want to have this, you know, this is what this guy's saying. I don't want to have this discussion. And what do? They persist. And instead they attack him over and over again. And then, of course, it always comes to one of these things because they start out by cussing at him. And these are just a few clips that we didn't get to yesterday. And then they continue on with this by making sure that everybody knows how stupid he is. Continue.
For the record, I'm wearing this shirt that was in my workout bag.
In your workout bag? So are you a Trump supporter and an anti-Trump?
So let me tell you something, man.
Yeah.
You live here amongst a bunch of different people from different races, different religions.
Yeah.
Do you really think you're going to make friends wearing a shirt like that around here?
He's in California.
I don't want to talk to you or
well,
like,
of course you
whatever.
Don't, because you have an explanation.
Because you're here for the free Wi-Fi. Oh, here for the free Wi-Fi, aren't you?
Who's going to look like the ass clown?
The
you
one
or her?
Is-
she is, for all intents and purposes, she's Charo, right? She is a loud, obnoxious individual who is telling somebody why they're somewhere. You're not going to make friends like that. No offense, bro, but based on this entire interaction, I don't want you dumbasses as my friends. Have to be honest with you. So you and Charo can hit the road. Because you weren't interested in the discussion. And I bring this up again because there's an art to being able to have a discussion. Look, passions. It doesn't matter what it is. Watch sports. Again, sports is the greatest reality show on television. It teaches you a lot about who human beings are. When you watch sports, you get it. How many times have we seen people in the heat of the moment with passions running high, with adrenaline pumping, say or do something stupid? A lot. We all have. Every one of us has said something we've regretted. Every single one of us as human beings has said something to a loved one, especially a loved one, somebody who's close to us, but to other people that we regret. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if it's the person you're getting something through from the drive-thru and they mess something up, or it's somebody at the store, or a waiter or waitress that takes too long, or it doesn't matter. We've all done it. Road rage. We've all said things and we regret those things because we don't know how to take things, and we get angry and we lash out. There is an art form to having political discord. There's an art form to discussing things. There's an art form to some of those. And the problem is we've allowed people nowadays to live off their feelings because we've told everybody the most important thing to you should be your feelings. It should not be fact. It should not be truth. It should be feelings and feelings alone. We move from this to what I thought was a very good interview with Trevor Noah and Tommy Lauren. She hosts a show on The Blaze called Tommy. She's 24 years old. She's a young conservative woman, and her and Noah had about a 25-minute interview or so where they sat down and they discussed stuff. Now, understand, she's going into the lion's den. She's going into a very progressive area where this is, of course, Trevor Noah is he took over for Jon Stewart. He's very, very progressive, as is most of the audience. She's there alone facing this. But Trevor Noah, I thought, was very nice and had a discussion with her, allowed her to get her points on and off her chest. And at the same time, they were able to actually talk about stuff. And that's what we miss in this country. We don't have that political discord anymore. Here's cut number one.
I was a supporter of Donald Trump because I do think we need an outsider. The Republicans need it just as much as anyone else. We need a shakeup. We need someone to come in from the outside, someone that hasn't been so heavily influenced by D.C. and a political culture and a political future, to come in and shake everyone, shake the cobwebs off everything, maybe turn it on its head.
Well, now what he's done is he's taken those cobwebs and started to make the White House out of it, it seems.
There are some folks. I mean, there are a place for everyone, but you've got someone at the head that says, I'm not going to take any BS. I'm not beholden to anyone in D.C.
He's beholden to people in India and Russia and China. But carry on.
Yeah. Being a businessman, that's the thing that's frustrating. Being a businessman and having assets in other places around the world, that's not something we should discourage. That's capitalism. That's a free marketplace. It's important.
She's right there. The fact that they're clapping over the fact that he's successful just goes to show you how far we've come in this world. And it's, oh, my God. Now, he throws some stuff in there, and he's a very bright guy. And remember, he's a comic. Here's the one thing about comics. In the end, comics are quick, and they're especially guys who are extremely successful or women who are extremely successful in the industry. So even if they may lose some part of an argument, their quick-wittedness can completely derail anybody. But I thought he did a good job there. I want to play clip number four, Marty, who's filling in today for Phil, and we'll talk about that in a second. This is when they talk racism, and this is where a lot of people on the left and the progressives themselves were extremely pissed about the way he has handled this whole interview with her. Take a listen.
What do you wish people would understand about you that are in another bubble? What do you wish people would understand about you on the other side?
I wish that we could disagree with each other without thinking that we are bad people or ill-intentioned folks. So because I criticize a black person or I criticize the Black Lives Matter movement, that doesn't mean that I am anti-black. It does not mean that I don't like black people or that I'm a racist. It means I'm criticizing a movement. I criticize Colin Kaepernick. That doesn't mean that I don't believe in his First Amendment rights. It means that I believe in my First Amendment rights to criticize him. So it doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make me a racist to point out. I mean, I've never used racial slurs to address people. I've never looked down on someone because of their skin color. To me, true diversity is diversity of thought, not diversity of color. I don't see color. I go after Hillary Clinton and she's white as they come.
You don't see color. So what do you do at a traffic light? I don't believe in that at all when people say that. There's nothing wrong with seeing color. It's how you treat color that's more important.
You're right. It is.
And see, okay, first of all, he derailed her because she had some good points. Secondly, and you're doing that also to placate the audience because there were some things there. This is the funny thing is, do you want us to see color or do you not want us to see color? Because you get some people who say, no, we want everybody to be equal and we don't want to see color. Then you have other places. You're always going to see color. The whole thing is, can you see past the color, which stops a lot of people in the discussion? That's what it is. I have said it over and over, and that's the first time I've heard anybody else say it, which is diversity, true diversity in life, is the diversity of ideas and thought. If you can understand diversity when it comes to ideas and thoughts, colors, sexuality, religions, all of those things, none of those things matter to anybody. The problem is is we don't. We never give people opportunities to understand diversity of thought because we're so busy thinking our thought process is right. I thought she handled herself extremely well. But what made me laugh a lot about this wasn't so much the interview, because I thought it was fine. What made me kind of laugh is the fact that many people are pissed off and have taken umbrage to the way that he has handled this interview. Why wasn't he harder? Why didn't he destroy her? Why didn't he embarrass her? It's so funny. The same thing we talked about when we were playing the stuff from the Milo video with that guy getting yelled at by people. They're asking the same thing as, why didn't you destroy this girl on national TV? Because it would have been A, funnier, and B, it would have made sure that our voice got heard far more than hers. We can't shut voice out in this country. We can't shut ideas out. If you want to understand somebody, you must first talk to them and listen to them. And then when they're talking, you've got to listen and hear. Take it in. You may not agree with what they have to say, but if you could put yourself for a moment in their place, understand what they're about, try to get a feel of where they're coming from, it'll all be better. Experience is 9/10 of life. If you've gone bankrupt because you were in a car accident, trust me, you'll be more for single payer than somebody else. If your daughter decides that she is, tells you she's a lesbian, decides that she's going to get married and have a child, even if you're conservative, that's still your child. Experience is 9/10 life. So if you put yourself into other people's positions, even if you may not believe in all of these things that they believe in, or you don't, you can put yourself there and you go, I get why you're saying that. I may have a different understanding of things, but I understand why you feel that way. We'll go further. But they wanted her to bull. They wanted him to bully her like these people were bullying the other guy. It's groupthink. It's stupid and it's wrong, and it doesn't make us better. It makes us more divided. Until we can actually hear each other, until we can discuss with each other, we're going to continue to be divided on not just issues of race, but issues of about everything. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Marty is in today for producer Phil, who, by the way, just posted a video of him getting on a train going to Toledo. And Scotty, one of our other producers here, came in and said, why did Phil post that? I said, to be honest with you, it's because he's a bit weird, is probably the best way to describe that. But we wish him all the best on his little vacation. John Kasich has a decision to make. Will he or won't he? Chad Benson Show.
Oh, yeah. I'm already hooked.
And we're just getting started.
Whoop-dee-doo!
This is the Chad Benson Show.
He's got a choice. Does he or doesn't he sign the heartbeat bill? John Kasich in Ohio. Surprise passage yesterday of the so-called heartbeat bill banning abortion as early as 6 weeks gestation has sparked outrage amongst a lot of people. And is this a blow against women's rights? Kasich's got a decision to make. You know, I was a Kasich fan, still am. I think he's a bright guy. I think he's a good guy. I think he got it. I think Donald Trump is what we need and is what we've got right now. So my support for the president, because I want them all to succeed. I don't care if it was Barack Obama or Donald Trump or John Kasich or if it would have been Hillary. My support as an American is I want my leader to succeed. But I liked Kasich. I think Kasich was very thought-forward kind of guy. I think he looked around, and I think his ideas, because he used to be very, very uber-conservative. And I think as he got older, normally you get more conservative, I think he took a look around and said, times have changed. I need to adapt to certain things that are happening, and I can't hold, you know, I can't be this holder of judgment to people. And he's got a decision to make. And we're going to see what happens here in this. Is he or isn't he going to sign this? This is the first time this has passed both chambers. And it passed in a way, again, it's one of those things where they attach it to a child abuse related bill in a lame duck session. And now we'll see what happens here. And this is what I have said all along is now it's not banning abortion. But what it is saying, the minute the heartbeat can be heard, things are changing. And it's interesting. I have said this as a man. I don't belong in the argument. I have said this as a man that women should be the ones who get to decide this. I have said this as a man as well, as a person who believes in life but will protect the right to choose because I think it's not my decision in life, nor should it be, to take away somebody's choice. I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. I'm not the executioner. That is something that that human being has to live with. And to I think a lot of people think that it's just some easy decision. And for some people, it may be. But for other people, it isn't. And this is what's going to – you're going to see challenges, not a federal challenge, but you're going to see is challenges across the states. And I have been very open about the fact that do I think that it's going to go to the Supreme Court on a federal level? No, but I do think states are going to be taking this across the board. Some of them are going to challenge this, and they're going to get something passed, and it's going to go to the federal court, and it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and they're going to decide. And that's why a lot of people were so worried who was going to win. Was it going to be a progressive left-leaning judge that they could have put in, or is it going to be a right-leaning judge? And that's why everybody thought that this was the most important election of a lifetime. And we've talked about what you could have done to take away the fear of that. But this is going to be interesting to see. I don't know what John Kasich's going to do. I don't. It's going to be very interesting. And what's the next step? Again, very interesting, these kind of things. Kasich's got a decision to make. People are hoping he's going to make one decision for the pro-choice. The pro-lifers are hoping he makes another. And I don't even know if he knows what he's going to do. Keep an eye out on it. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the text line. Santa did what?
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Let's meet kids and kittens. You know, I love curves, baby. I love me some curves. As I sit here and we talk about these next few stories, we're always looking for what we can't say to certain people. Well, there's a group of people that, you know, we get fat shaming. There's a certain group that, like, we get a little angry with them, but we don't go apoplectic like we do on other things. And it's that time of the year, right? I mean, here we are. We're heading into the big, big, big holiday season. We're going to have Christmas and New Year's. There's going to be parties and food. It's getting colder outside. We're not working out as much. The LBs will slowly but surely climb on to many of us. And then, you know, when we start to thaw out in April or May, and by that I mean you guys, because I don't live in a place where we have any thaw, we can be a little bit heavier. Not all of us, but some of us. And we talk about weight on the show because it's all of us have had a struggle at some time or another with weight. My little brother has the exact opposite. He's 17 years old, and they just went to the doctors to find out why he can't put weight on. Why can't he put weight on? He's 6'3" almost. He's 160 pounds sopping wet. And, you know, if he was 25 pounds heavier, probably the first round draft pick in the next year or two, you know, in the NHL. But the truth is until they can put some weight on him. We'd all like that. We always say, I'd love to have that problem, right? Because when we say that, what do we mean? I'd like to have that problem so I can eat anything I want. But everybody out there who struggled with weight, you know that it can be a struggle. And you know that you know when you feel good and you look good in the whole nine yards. And you finally, the way I look at it is you put some weight on, you get a little comfortable, take some weight off, you feel pretty good, you put some more weight. It's the yo-yo world that we live in, right? And finally, you get to a point in your life where you're thinking, I feel okay and I look okay. Having played soccer for all the years that I played, I got to the point where it's like, you know what? I'm fine with this. Yeah, I'm going to lose 20, 30 pounds over the next couple, you know, 6 months or so. But I'm fine. I feel good. I feel okay. If I'm stuck here at this position, I'm not going to freak out about it. But weight is something us Americans have fought with. And it is not just an American thing. There's so many places around the world that also fight with weight now, especially. And by the way, we around the world, we get blamed for a lot of the obesity epidemics around the world because of American food and the junk food and all of the great stuff. We get blamed for a lot of this crap. But we're also like about what? Having a good body image. What's healthy? You're 6 foot, a size zero is probably not healthy if you're a woman. What's healthy? Ashley Graham is, I think she's gorgeous. She is a model. She's a plus size model. And she's on the cover of UK Vogue. And the editor has shamed a bunch of designers who refused to dress her. Think about that for a second. These are usually the most progressive of all the people, right? When you say that, people in the fashion industry are probably, you don't find too many staunch conservatives in the fashion world. But it's funny how they can be just as much biased and have some sort of disdain for somebody who doesn't fit what they deem to be normal. I love me some curves. As I was reading this thing, and the fact that she has, you know, she is fine with it. I think she's a size 14. She was totally fine with that because somebody did come and dressed her, if you will. Because that's what they do on these things. They get, you know, it's an opportunity for you. Think about this for a second. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, I would like you to dress our model. It's going to be on the cover of Vogue, and you're going to have a big spread in there. Who is it? It's Ashley Graham. She's a size 12 or 14. Nope. When in truth, the clothes that you're selling aren't going to be for size 0 and 2. They're going to be size 8, 12, 10, 14, because that's the average person. But it's fine to have that bias. And I love how they're the most progressive in a lot of ways. Again, there's not a lot of staunch conservatives rolling out there. You know, you go to many of these big fashion shows, you're not going around here and go, wow, look at all. What, is that Ted Cruz over there? No, you're not seeing that. The bias is there. And this is one of those places where you can still have a little bit of bias towards people and get away with this. Could you imagine that? Let's flip the script a little bit. Could you imagine if you had a black model and you said, hey, so-and-so is going to be on the cover of this, whatever it is. Could you, Cosmo, Maxim, whatever, could you dress them? Who is it? It's such and such. Nope. She's black. Oh. Could you imagine that? Here's another one. Hey, we'd like you to dress such and such. Mary Jane Grace, I think. Is that the singer? Is that the name? Laura Jane Grace, I think it is. That's the singer from the band Against Me, who has gone from being a male to a female. And maybe they want to do a spread with her. And they said, hey, we'd like to get some clothes for Laura Jane. And they said, no, we don't dress. People are trans. Could you imagine the outcry? But because somebody's a 12 or a 14, it's not a big deal. And it takes an editor to stand up and say something. By the way, Ashley Graham didn't say anything because she knows she has to work in the industry. But it takes an editor to say something. And we're worried about what? Body image for our daughters, for our kids? And that's the stuff we get? But I like the hypocrisy of it all because that's what it's about for a lot of people. Do as I say, not as I do. Because I'm going to be hypocritical. I'm going to tell you X, Y, and Z that you must do. Otherwise, I will shame you in every way, shape, or form. But, oh, if I do this, it's no big deal because this is just my choice and I'm that kind of person. We go from there to a story that I thought was, you can see it on our Facebook page, you can see it on our webpage, chadbensonshow.com, that, like, who, like, of all the people, right, you're a child. You're a little bit of the, you know, husky side. I don't think this kid Anthony is a ginormous child, but he would definitely be a husky jean wearing kind of kid. Remember husky jeans? Like, we all remember, like, we're, oh, my mom got me tough skins or husky jeans, you know. Yeah, you know. He goes and sees Santa Claus. He's excited, right? Because you're excited, man. You're 9. You're going to see Santa Claus. Jack is losing his mind. He wants to go see Santa Claus. I love my son. He can't wait to go see Santa Claus. He wants to see every Santa Claus he possibly can because he wants to make sure Santa Claus has everything. What if this Santa doesn't remember? Because he knows that this one's talking to that Santa and that Santa's finally going to get everything to him. This little kid, as excited as possible, goes to see a Santa Claus at a mall. Anthony Mays is his name, 9 years old. And to the shock of everyone, Santa had some words for him that were unkind. Clip number one.
When I got done, he said, just lay off the hamburgers and french fries, and that really just disrespected me, and I felt awful.
Could you imagine that? Hey, how was Santa? Santa told me I was fat. Wait, what? Like, of all the... Like, the person that should be the champion of you, right? Like, because you don't think of Santa as like, oh, here comes Santa Claus. Like, he's just ripped and yoked and, you know, he's just talking about all this great stuff he's doing. It's like, he offered me tofu. No, Santa wants cookies and milk. You don't leave out tofu for Santa. Do you? I don't think so. Some people might. You don't leave that out. No. No. Ridiculous. But of all the places you go that with you would think would be your safe space, that's that. It's Santa Claus, right? He's got a belly full of jelly, right? He's got the ho ho ho. He's big. That's what makes him great. Oh my God! What's going to be in his present? This kid's worried what's coming in his present tomorrow. He's going to get a present. Santa's going to be in there. Santa got me an elliptical machine. Is he telling me something? I didn't ask for an elliptical machine. I'm 9 years old. I don't even know what it is. I wanted a bike. I wanted a video game. He got me an elliptical machine and some Weight Watchers coupons. That's not cool. Cut number two.
I was crying until I went to bed that night. And I would have said to him, like my mama said, like, you don't want to disrespect a 9-year-old, even though what shape besides you are, it doesn't matter.
Again, there are certain things we can say to people that if it was said to another group of people, you can, boom. And by the way, people who are of size, if you will, people who've nutritionally overachieved, people of size, as my uncle calls it, you know if you're chunky or not. You know if you're overweight or not. You don't just wake up one day and go, did you guys know I was 300 pounds? I was unaware. You just don't do that, right? You know that you're there. Now, whether he said it in jest, whether he said it in some way, shape, or form, I also think we overreact in this world because we demand that everybody get fired for every single thing. To a kid, you shouldn't say those kind of things. Even if it's in jest for the little kid, he probably knows he's a bit portly. Right? Maybe he wants to be Santa Claus when he grows up one day, and you've ruined him. Now we're going to see him in 15 or 20 years, and he's going to be 6'2" because he's been raging on roids, right? He's going to be yoked, and he's the Santa Claus that just freaks out at the mall. All because this Santa said something. That's not a ho-ho-ho, kids. That's a yuck, yuck, yuck. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. A lot of text messages coming through. Text the show. I have a call number, but I rarely give it out, but I'll do it this time. 844-344-2423. I had to remember that. Wow, that's bad. 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com, and you can text the show. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Do you want to work longer? Do you want to live longer? Which one do you want to do? Chad Benson Show.
going on here?
Say what?
Well, good luck with that.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Do you want to live longer or work longer?
Well, I want to live longer.
Well, then you're probably going to have to work longer. And that's not a bad thing. New study coming out talks about baby boomers and how, by and large, some 42% of 50 to 64-year-olds have at least one health condition. 24% have more than one. But staying active, especially through work, will actually improve your health and keep you alive longer. There's also one other thing that baby boomers can do that are vitally important. We talked earlier this week about, you know, the worry of immigration and taking our jobs and all these kind of things and where we're going in the future. I have told you over and over again that computers, and if you're not going to do computers, you're not going to do those kind of things, then you've got to do something where a skill set is vocational, some of those things that you can't lose your job to because things are going to go far away, i.e. manufacturing moves somewhere else because, well, they can, you know, they can outsource it to somebody cheaper or robots come in and take your job away. One thing about this whole thing with baby boomers is something that they can teach the millennials. The millennials aren't going to get anywhere else. Great article today. Forget robots. People skills are the future of American jobs. And why is that important? Because it's a lost art. People skills are becoming a lost art, especially amongst the younger generation who are so, again, they have never been more connected. They have never been more worldly. They've never been any of those things, except we've never been further apart at that age because we're not actually friends with somebody. We're friends on Facebook. We're friends on Instagram. We're friends on Snapchat. We're friends on Pinterest. We're computer friends. We play video games with somebody we've never met. This is totally different. Having a personality. Let me tell you something about personality. People ask me, what's your best trait? It's my personality. My drive and all that stuff is great, but my personality. That's my best trait. Many of you may agree. Many of you may disagree. Jerks. But that, it's huge. We give people opportunities that we like. People that we don't like or people who don't think they'll fit in, we don't give them opportunities in the business world. We were talking today around here about getting ready to hire some more people and who we're looking for. And one of them is we want people that mesh with us, who we are, what we're about in our little company here. I don't know how many people I have, especially a younger generation, where it's trying to pull teeth to get anything out of them. Personality is huge. I can teach somebody something. You know what I can't teach them to be? Entertaining, interesting, friendly, kind. I can't teach that. They either are or aren't. And with the fact that we are more disconnected than ever, especially, look, my generation's guilty of it too. It's weird to say that personality is becoming a lost art form, but it's true. How many of you out there, you now have to talk to your kids through devices, can't hold a conversation, can't look at you. It's crazy. How many of you out there, though, man, you know when you got a good waiter, right? You know when you got a good waitress. Man, their personality is great. They're hilarious. They're fun. They're kind. They were attentive. They talked to me. We had a good discussion. I know about this person. Same thing. I've gotten a lot of my jobs in life because people liked me. Whether or not I could do the job at first, they didn't care. But they liked me enough to go, you know what? Let's give this person a chance. And that's where they say, as far as the non-computer jobs are going, is going to be the huge boom, is who can relate to people. And this is what an older generation can teach the younger generation, is you have to have some personality. You have to have some people skills. You have to be able to talk to human beings one-on-one or amongst many. You have to be able to do that. And I don't think again, it's a lost art, and it shouldn't even be an art form. It used to just be something. I tell Jack, when you shake somebody's hand, Jack, you shake their hand and you look them in the eyes and you say, hello, my name's Jack. Nice to meet you. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. Address people. Talk to them. find out about them, listen to them, laugh, be your crazy fun self. But that's not being taught. And the sad thing is can you even teach that anymore? Because we're so disconnected in so many ways. So for you young people out there who listen to the show, and we got a lot of them, realize that personality is going to get you a long way in life. And even if you're going for that computer job that you've always dreamed of, to be a coder somewhere, it may come down to both of them are pretty much the same on paper. But you know what? I like this guy. I like this girl. They're fun. They'd fit in around here. You'd be surprised what it's going to get you. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Chadbenson. Love it when you text the show. A lot of text messages coming through. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.